Glad you got a safe trip. John chapter 1 and verse 10. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 10. We've been looking at the incarnation. That means God took on flesh. And we're looking at the reasons why Christ came and took on flesh. He was born as a babe in the manger. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, to be made under the law, to redeem those that were under the curse of the law. The law says when you sin, you die. And we're all sinners, and death was passed on all men. And Christ came that we might have life through Him. In John 1 and verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Father, bless Your Word today to our hearts. Help us to gain understanding and meaning and apply it to our lives. Motivate us through Thy Word today to serve You and live for You and be a good witness for You. Help us to learn so that we can explain to others the importance of the virgin birth, of the virgin conception of Christ, and the fact that He is God who took on flesh that He might die in our place. So help us now as we study the incarnation through Christ our Lord. Amen. We saw that, first of all, He came to reveal God to man. Christ is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We see in Luke's account of His birth, we see in Matthew's account of His birth, that Christ would be named Jesus, and that name is the same in the Hebrew as Joshua, and it means Jehovah's salvation. And Christ came to be the salvation of God to man. And He took on flesh to die in our place. He took on flesh to reveal to us all the characteristics of God and the attributes of God that we could only read about but not see and know in the way that we could because Christ took on flesh. John reveals the deity of Christ. He reveals Him as the great physician who came to heal the sick and cast out demons and even raise the dead. He revealed Him as the bread of life. Men hunger in their souls. Many try to fill that hunger with the sins of the flesh. But once you come to know Christ as your Savior, you are fed through Him and you hunger no more. You don't need another Savior once you come to know Christ as Savior. He is the bread of life. He's the water of life. The same if you know the Lord, you'll never thirst again. The Spirit He gives us lives within us and springs up like a fountain of water that refreshes and supplies all our needs. The forgiveness of sins was in Christ. He had the power to forgive sins. There was a woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8 and thrown down at His feet. And the Pharisee says, the law says she's to be stoned to death. What do you say? And Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground. Wouldn't you like to have a picture of that? What He wrote? He wrote on the ground with His finger. He looked up at them and said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And there was not a man among them without sin, and they knew that, and their conscience bothered them, and they went away. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are your accusers? And she said, Lord, there are none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He forgave her. He had mercy on her. And this was something that the law had not done, the forgiveness of sins through mercy. Chapter 9, he was the light of the world. He came to reveal God's light to man. But men love darkness rather than light, so they refused as a whole to come to him and be saved. He was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. David, back in Psalm 23, wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he's your shepherd and my shepherd today, and we are the sheep of his pastures. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, they wrote in Psalm 100. And the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep that we might have everlasting life. Christ in John chapter 11 came to the grave of Lazarus, his friend, and he said to his sister, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe upon me, you shall never die." You see, faith in Christ is a part of why he came and took on flesh, so that we might have faith in him and receive everlasting life through him. He was raised from the dead after the crucifixion and burial, and we too receive life through him as he was raised from the dead. He came to be the son of David and the son of God, to be the king of the Jews. He is also, in Revelation 19, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But his reigning in that position will not take place until those events happen in Revelation and he returns to this earth to set up his kingdom. But he's our King and our Lord because we've put faith and trust in him. He's the true vine in John 15, the source of all fruit spiritually comes because we must be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why all the religions of the world are foolish and produce nothing of lasting importance to God unless they come connected to Jesus Christ. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter and our guide. He seals us, the Bible says, until the day of redemption, referring to the redemption of the body. You are purchased or redeemed the moment you get saved, but your body is still flesh. And until we shed this flesh one day and go to be with the Lord, then we have the redemption of the body, and we receive a body like his body that will last forever and forever. I like the fact that it'll suffer no pain, sickness, or sorrow, and no more death. We'll be with the Lord, thus shall we be forevermore. Miss Loretta will be reunited in that day with our loved ones that have gone ahead and are there waiting for us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Intercession. Christ intercedes with the Father for us. He is our advocate. Even though we're saved, even though we have the Spirit of God, even though we have the Word of God, even though we have the church, we are still imperfect human beings who make mistakes and willfully do things wrong. But Christ is our advocate with the Father, and his sacrifice pays for our sins if we will but confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He took on flesh. All of this is revealed to us in the Gospel of John. He took on flesh, secondly, to become man who could represent mankind to God. God took on flesh to reveal God to us, and Christ took on flesh to reveal man to God, to reconcile man to God who was offended by our sin. He was the second Adam. The first Adam failed and plunged us all into a sin nature. But Christ, the second Adam, did not fail. He did everything perfectly that the Father would have him to do. And he willingly died on the cross for us. The Bible says, in Adam all die. but in Christ shall all be made alive. Rejoice in that. Say hallelujah, because God has provided for us. Thirdly, he took on flesh to be our merciful and faithful high priest, who offered himself as the sacrifice, and he offered himself in heaven to God in the heavenly tabernacle, and offered his blood there to pay for our sins. Merciful and faithful high priest after the order of Melchizedek, eternally a priest forever. Fourthly, he took on flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And that was my last focus in the message. We saw that he died in Hebrews 2:14. Jesus, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So he teaches us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Not because we are powerful, but because we show by our submission to God and resistance of Satan that God lives in us and he cannot overcome what lives within us, the Spirit of God. But we must put on the whole armor of God because we're in a spiritual warfare. We need the helmet, which is the knowledge of salvation. We need the breastplate of righteousness that covers our vulnerable parts. We need our loins girt about with truth. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We need the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we need to pray always with all types of prayer that God would hedge us about with protection and empower us to defeat Satan, that we might reach souls with the gospel and help in building the church for Jesus Christ. Then today we look at number 5, Christ took on flesh to be the head of the new creation. Many of you could quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold all things are become new." We are the new creation through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29, the Bible makes it very clear that Christ wants all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So in getting saved and growing as a Christian, God is using what happens in our life for our good and to help make us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christ is the perfect man. Christ is our pattern. We are not to be conformed to the things of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might become like Christ in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our actions, in our heart, in our love for God and our love for other people. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father did bestow upon us that we should be called the sons of God." When you get saved, you become a part of the family of God. You're one of God's children, and Christ is your elder brother. And we should look up to him and appreciate him for what he's done and see him as our model to seek to become like him. Now, we're not going to become sinless until we get to heaven to become like him in our body. But we can strive to be like him in how we live and what we do in this life. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might be first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Christ took on flesh, died on the cross, rose again from the dead to provide all these things for you and for me, who were just sinners who have the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Christ took on flesh. Christ saves us and rules as our Lord and our Savior. There are at least, I have 22 points in my 7 minutes left this morning to speak about that come because of the new creation. Christ took on flesh to rule over the new creation, and we are the new creation that Christ is ruling. He bestowed upon us to be chosen of God, redeemed. That means purchased by the blood of Christ. He set us free as captives to sin, and he broke the bondage that sin had over us. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now we're redeemed by our soul being saved, but our body is not yet redeemed. We wait for that. Romans 8:23 says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The son placing of adoption that will take place when we go home to heaven to be with the Lord and we get a new body like his body. Our bodies will be redeemed, and we should long for that and earnestly groan waiting for that to happen. We are redeemed. Secondly, we are reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ took upon himself in suffering on the cross the sin of man. That means all sin that had ever been committed or ever will be committed, Christ bore that penalty when he died on Calvary's cross. That's why it was written that he would say, and he did, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The earth became dark as God turned himself away from Christ, who bore our sins and paid the penalty for our sins in dying there for us. And then when that payment was made, Christ looked up to the Father and said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and yielded up his spirit, and he was buried. And the third day he rose again from the dead. All of this is a part of why he took on flesh. We are related to him because he's the propitiation for our sins. He's the point of mercy, the appeasement of all wrong that we've done. Christ paid the price. That word propitiation is used a couple of times in the New Testament, in Romans and in 1 John. And it has a history that takes that word back to the Old Testament mercy seat where the blood was offered. And the sprinkling of the blood was accepted by God, and that was the meeting place between God and man. Christ is now the meeting place between God and man. And when Christ rose from the grave, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, as if God reached down in His greatness and took that curtain by the hands and tore it open, that the way into the Holy of Holies is now open for all men who come through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. We're cleansed of our sin. And I say sin singularly, because it is the sin nature that is our problem and the many sins that we commit. But Christ, who is the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world through His sacrifice and resurrection. You were dead in sins. He hath now quickened or made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Colossians 2:13. You are now joined to Christ to walk in newness of life, that we might please Him and we might seek to become like Him in our daily lives. Number 7, we have been set free from the law and its penalties. Sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Romans 6 and verse number 14. God saves you not because you keep the commands, not because you earn it, not because you work in some way to try to appease God. Christ has already paid the price. We are saved by grace through faith and forgiven all our sins. Praise God. Number 8, and I'll stop here. In John 1, 11 through 13, which we read at the beginning, we become the sons of God. We are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are adopted, which means God places us into the body of Christ. We are His children, and yet we have adult positions by the act of adoption. If you get saved today, you'll be able to pray and commune with God with the same favor of somebody sitting here who's been saved for 50 or 60 years and who've done many things in service for God. But if you get saved, the moment you're saved, you become a child of the King, and you have the same rights and privileges as one who's been saved for many, many years. You'll possess all the benefits. Christ came to take on flesh, to be the head of the new creation. And there are so many things that we receive the moment we're saved. Understand, if you sin after you are saved, then you need to confess your sin to God and be forgiven and cleansed of your sin. But you don't lose any of these, I believe, 33 things that happen the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior. Because you're not kept by your works or your actions or even your faith. You're kept by the power of God once you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your blessings on this congregation, all those watching on live streaming today. We pray for them, and we miss them, and we ask you to bless them. And we pray now, Lord, that you'll bless in this invitational time as we pause to think about what we've heard. And we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.